We begin the current daf himself, Pesachim daf Mem Zayin. We begin on the bottom line of Mem Vav and Mem Beis, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, we had a machlokes between Rabbah and Rav Chisda, if we say the halachic principle of Hoyel. Do we say that one is allowed to do a malacha on Yom Tov, for example, since if I would be able to do it in the permitted way, therefore I could be doing it now, even though it's in a non-permitted way. For example, their machlokes was, if someone's baking on Yom Tov, but for weekday purposes, and that there's machlokes if he's going to get malchus or not. And that depends on this principle. If you say hoyel, this person already finished his Yom Tov meals. He's not eating anymore now. But now, since if guests would come, hypothetically, then it would be permitted to be baking these stuff on Yom Tov, even though there's only, let's say, an hour left of Yom Tov. Therefore, even though he's doing it for the weekday, he will not get malchus. Or do you say that no, he will get malchus because we do not say the halachic principle of hoyel. So therefore, Rabbah asked Rav Chisda, according to you that you do not say Hayil, the question then becomes, how are we allowed to do, which everyone does, bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos? According to me that I say Hayil, is that since if I were to want to eat this on Yom Tov, I can bake it, although I'm doing it for Shabbos, it's permitted. But according to you that you don't say Hayil, how is one allowed to go ahead and bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos? So he said, what do you mean? It's Erev Tavshilin. Erev Tavshilin is a rabbinic injunction that allows a person to bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos, to which Rabbah responded, he says, wait a second. If this is a Issa Dairaisa, because you're not allowed to go ahead and bake on Yom Tov for non-Yom Tov purposes, it's only a heter of Eichel Nefesh. So according to me, I have Hoyel, which allows you to do it. It's included in that exemption. But you that you don't say Hoyel, how could a rabbinic injunction permit an Issa Dairaisa of doing one Lamates Balochas of Yom Tov? Because baking is not permitted, Minat Torah, only if it's for Eichel Nefesh of Yom Tov. And here it's not. It's for Shabbos. And that, on Rav Chisda answered that, really, the Isra of baking from Yom Tov to Shabbos is not Dairaisa. It's really rabbinic, because Minat Torah, Shabbos and Yom Tov are both called Shabbos. They both have the same level of sanctity, and just like you're allowed to bake for Yom Tov, you're allowed to bake for Shabbos. It's only Asur Midrabanan, because the people might confuse and say, just like you're allowed to bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos, so you're allowed to bake from Yom Tov to the weekday, which that would be an Issa Dairaisa. So Midrabanan, they made it forbidden even from Yom Tov to Shabbos. However, when you do the Erev Tavshilin, which shows, oh, wait a second, something is different over here. We can't just bake from Yom Tov to another day. It's only with Erev Tavshilin, which was allowed, which was showing us that this is only permitted now from Yom Tov to Shabbos, because again, there it is not Asur Minat Torah. That is enough of a sign to people will know that you're not allowed to just bake from Yom Tov to a weekday. It's only from Yom Tov to Shabbos, and that's what the purpose of Erev Tavshilin is. That's where the Gemara continues on that theme, where the Gemara continues Esve. Rabbah continues to ask Rav Chisda, that based on your principle, you have to say that you don't say Hayil. And therefore my question was, and what do you do from Yom Tov to Shabbos, is that you said that there is no Issa Deraisa of baking from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So therefore he asked from a Mishnah Masechtas Menachos that says, Lechem Aponim, these are the showbreads that were eaten and prepared every single Shabbos. They prepared on that Shabbos, which was eaten on the subsequent Shabbos. We continue up to Tab of Mem Zayin and Aleph. So the halacha of the Mishnah says of Menachos is, it can be eaten in different time spans from when you made it, from when you baked it, up until when you're going to eat it. As the Mishnah explains. Necho l'tisha, sometimes it can be eaten 9 days after it was baked. La'asara, sometimes 10 days. V'la'achad asara, and sometimes 11 days. However, the Mishnah says, lo'ipachas v'lo'yesa, not less than the 9 days, but not more than 11 days. So ketzar, the Mishnah explains, how is this? Why sometimes is it 9 days later, sometimes 10, sometimes 11? Kidarko l'tisha. If it's made in how it normally is in a regular week, then it's going to be 9 days after you bake that it's going to be eaten, as the Mishnah explains. Nefa b'Erev Shabbos, because it gets baked on Erev Shabbos, let's say on this Erev Shabbos. Then the following day, Shabbos, is when they prepare it, they put it on the Shulchan for the whole week. The coming Shabbos, they take it off, and then when it's eaten, is Nechel b'Shabbos Letisha, gets eaten on the next Shabbos, which is 9 days from when it was baked. Chal Yom Tov li'is b'Erev Shabbos. However, if Yom Tov is on Friday, on Erev Shabbos, and now they couldn't bake something which was not for the purpose of Yom Tov, when now, therefore, they couldn't make it on Friday anymore as they normally do. So they had to bake it from Erev Yom Tov on Thursday. Therefore, Nechel Shabbos La'asara gets eaten to the following Shabbos 10 days later. Because instead of being Friday, it was on Thursday. Now let's say Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah. Let's say there's 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. As Rashi explains that in the times of the Gemara, generally in Eretz Yisrael, the halacha is that there is 1 day of Yom Tov. However, it's possible to have Rosh Hashanah being Thursday and Friday. For example, of the Eidim, the witnesses, which is how it was in the earlier times, that Eidim would come and say, when is it Rosh Chodesh? When is it the new moon? And therefore they would know when is the first of Tishrei, which is Rosh Hashanah. So if the Eidim come from the time of Mincha and later, the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah tells us that then they would have the halacha of that day being Rosh Hashanah and the following day being Rosh Hashanah, as the Gemara there explains. So therefore, Thursday or Friday is Yom Tov, and you couldn't bake it on either one of those days, then you had to bake it on Wednesday, Then Nechel Shabbos LaChadasa. Then it gets eaten on the following Shabbos 11 days later. And the reason is, as the Mishnah explains, Lefisha Eina Deicha, because the baking of the Lechem Aponim, it does not push away Lo Yisa Shabbos of Lo Yisa Yomtiv, neither Shabbos nor Yomtiv, and therefore you can't bake on Shabbos, and you can't bake on Yomtiv. So in some cases, you'll have to be baking as early as Wednesday for the following Shabbos, again, which will be 11 days later. Now the question becomes, V'i Amrit Tzarecha Shabbos Nasab Yomtiv. Now, if, as it is your saying, Grif Chizda, that Minat Torah truthfully is that the needs of Shabbos, let's say the foods, can be baked and done on Yomtiv, and therefore Lechem Aponim is a Tzarchei Shabbos, because what they would do on Shabbos is they would remove it and eat on Shabbos. So therefore, if Minat Torah, you can go ahead and really do this, let's say baking Lechem Aponim, even out of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's only Midrabanan that you're saying it was us, as you said, that's the purpose of Erev Tavshilin. But the thing is, in the Beis HaMikdash, we know the halacha is that they did not make Shvusin, they did not make the Isur Drabanan us in the Beis HaMikdash. And then the question becomes, why isn't the baking of the Lechem Aponim, which is Tzarech Shabbos, Techi Yomtiv, and then you could bake on Friday, you could bake on Thursday, it doesn't make a difference, Rosh Hashanah or Yomtiv, we should always be able to be baked on Friday because it's Tzarech Shabbos, and you said that Torah, they can be done, it's only Asim Drabanan, Asim Drabanan is not a problem with the Beis HaMikdash. So on that, Omri Rav Chizra responded that the truth is that Tzarech Shabbos they could be done on Yomtiv. And that's because there's only Issa Midrabanan. But then your question was, then over here also this should be permitted in the Beis HaMikdash because it's only Issa Midrabanan, it's only a Shvus. So I want you to understand this halacha that we did not make Isuri Shvusin in the Beis HaMikdash, that rabbinic injunctions of prohibitions, of concerns, for example, to becoming Issa D'Araisa, that they're permitted in the Beis HaMikdash, that is only Shvus Kereva. That is an Issa Midrabanan that's immediate. For example, let's say that Yomtiv itself, or of the Shabbos right there, that next Shabbos, let's say Friday, and then the day after Shabbos, which you need on that day, that was Hitir, that's when they permitted those things in the Beis HaMikdash. However, Shvus Rechaika, however, a rabbinic violation that will be only for a later purpose, let's say to be Deicha, Isid Rabbanan on this Yom Tov, which would be, let's say, the Bacon Lechem Aponim, for a second Shabbos, which is not their Shabbos, but rather for another week later, that Lohitir, that they did not permit in the Beis HaMikdash. And there was not a difficulty. You're right, although it is the Shvus, and you're asking me Shvus, and we did not make forbidden Beis HaMikdash. However, here it's different because it's not for this Shabbos, it's for a following Shabbos, and that we did not allow even in the Beis HaMikdash. But if so then Rabbah continues to ask, but Reb Shimon Gamliel, the Amma that he says, Meshur Reb Shimon ben Askan, that he said, Doiches Yom Tov, that the baking of the Lechem Aponim does push away the Yom Tov. And you could bake it on Friday, and you could bake it on Thursday when it's Rosh Hashanah and other Yom Tov. But Ve'ena Deiches Yom Tzim, however, it does not push away the Issa Deiraisa of baking on Yom Kippurim, where there is no heter of Eichel Nefesh whatsoever, because no one eats on Yom Kippurim. However, on Yom Tov, what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying, that where Eichel Nefesh is permitted, and this is considered Eichel Nefesh, it's for eating purposes. Now, although it's not for the tzarech of this Yom Tov, because Lechem Aponim is not eaten on Yom Tov, it's eaten on Shabbos, and it's for Shabbos, and therefore, although that this is for a Shvus Rechaika, this is not for this Shabbos. As we're saying, you're baking on Friday, which is Yom Tov, and he allows that. Not for this Shabbos, but rather for a Shabbos later. And therefore the question becomes, Ma'ikla Mema, according to him, what are you going to say? Because here we see that even the Shvus Rechaika is being permitted. And you just said that only in the Beis HaMikdash we allow a Shvus Kereiva, not a Shvus Rechaika. So why does he allow the baking on Yom Tov? And that he answers, B'hol Pligi, this is exactly what they're arguing about. Mar Sava, the Tanakhama that we were just explaining, holds Shvus Kereiva too. As I told you, he only allows an immediate Shvus violation for an immediate purpose. However, Shvus Rechaika too. However, for a later purpose, for the next Shabbos, he didn't allow, and that's why you can't do it on Friday if it's Yom Tov, or even Thursday if it's Rosh Hashanah. However, Umar Savad Rebbeshim Lil, that you're quoting to me, Shvus Rechaika and Amitir, you're right. He also allows even a distant Shvus, and that's why, as I'm saying, the reason is, it is because it's Mutim and Atayra. You're allowed to make from Yom Tov to Shabbos, and this is exactly why Rebbeshim Lil holds you're allowed to do it even on Yom Tov. However, this that I answered, but the Tanakhama that says you can't do it on Yom Tov the Shabbos, is because, although it's only Yisra Banan, but in the Beis HaMikdash, he doesn't allow Shvus Rechaika. But Shemlil does allow even the Shvus Rechaika, so since it's only rabbinic, as my opinion is, that from Yom Tov the Shabbos, only Yisra Banan, that's why he allows it even on Yom Tov. Now, Masav Rav Murray asked now on Rav Chizda, from that same Mishnah, we said, we were speaking about up until now with the Lechem Aponim, which was the showbread that was every Shabbos. Shtei HaLechem, these are the two breads that are brought on Shavuos. Eina chalas loipachis mishnayim. It says a similar type of halacha. They're not eaten less than 10 days from 2 days from when they were baked. V'lo yosar shleish, but they're never more than 3 days from when they were baked. Ketzad, how so? And that the Mishnah says nefes erev yomtiv. They're baked on erev yomtiv. Then nachalas liyomtiv lishnayim. Then they're eaten on yomtiv on the second day from when they were baked. But chal yomtiv liyos achar Shabbos. Let's say yomtiv is on a Sunday. That's when Shavuos is. So it's the day after Shabbos. Now chalas liyomtiv lishleish. Then they're eaten on yomtiv on the third day. That's because they have to be baked on erev Shabbos. And then the Mishnah says, the reason is, the baking of the Shtei HaLechem is not doicha, neither the Yomtiv of Shavuos, nor the Shabbos that comes before it. Now the question of Chizda becomes, now if according to you, that you said on the previous daf, that from Yomtiv you can bake even to Shabbos. Now, hashta the Shabbos be Yomtiv Shabbos. If you're telling me that things that are necessary, remember, Oichel Nefesh is permitted to be done on Yom Tov. If you're eating something on Yom Tov, you're allowed to go ahead and cook. However, the problem is for a different day. So then you're saying that, but for Shabbos, that's not a problem, although to the weekday it would be. But Shabbos is considered, they're both called Shabbos. You could bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos, no problem. That's included in the heter of Tzarchei Oichel Nefesh. So then if you can make from Yom Tov to Shabbos, the Yom Tov be Yom Tov mebaya, would you have a question that on Yom Tov, for Yom Tov itself, that shouldn't be permitted? Why can't you go ahead and bake the Shtei Alechem on Shabbos? As Rashi explains, although right now, at this moment, when you're baking the Shtei Alechem, you can't yet eat it because, let's say, the carbon wasn't brought yet, the kibbutz atzeres, which they're interdependent. However, it's fit for at least later on in the day. Is it worse than Shabbos, which is the following day? That whole day of Yom Tov, it's not fit for you because you already ate, you finished eating it, you're definitely not going to eat it till Shabbos, and yet you say it's permitted. What must you say? That it's not permitted on Yom Tov min ha-Torah, only something that would be fit right then at that moment. Only that is considered Oichel Nefesh. And most definitely that to Shabbos, from Yom Tov to Shabbos, would be Aser. Now the reason why Shabbos is mutter to make from Yom Tov to Shabbos is like I said, like Rabbi had said, is because of the concept of hoyel, of that for guests, that since guests might come, so although they're probably not, and I'm not making for that purpose, but still hoyel allows to make food from Yom Tov to Shabbos. However, in this case, you can't say hoyel, because at this moment, when they would be baking the Shtei HaLechem on Shavuos, let's say Shavuos in the morning, it's not fit to consume them yet until the kibbutz atzeres were slaughtered and that their blood was thrown on the Mizbeach. And now, since it's something that you could have done from the day before, so there was not going to be Deicha Yomtiv, because it's something that's not fit to be done at that moment. It's not included in Eichel Nefesh. And therefore, that's difficult according to you, that why wouldn't you be able to do the baking of the Shtei HaLechem on Yomtiv? There's no problem. There's no Isser over here. Just like you're allowed to make from Yomtiv the Shabbos, most definitely Yomtiv and Yomtiv. So then you have to say, like Rabbi had said, because of Hoyle. And then the Gemara says, no, it's not difficult to contra Chizik, because Shani Hasim, they're different. You're right, although generally you're allowed to make, and you would be able to make baked bread that you're eating later on in the day. But there is different to Amar Kor Lachem. The Torah tells you that this Heter of Oichel Nefesh is for you. Lachem v'lo likvoy. It's for you and not for Hashem purposes, not for the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore that does not allow us to make the Shtei HaLechem, which are only going to be mutter later on. That is a heter would be for not for lachem, it would be for tzarcha gevaya, and therefore that's not included in the heter. But then the Gemara asks, Ulir Shimon Gamliel again, quoting that opinion, Dama Mishum Rishim Neskan, that he argues on this, and he says, Deiches HaYomtiv, that so too by the Shtei HaLechem, it is Deiches HaYomtiv, then Ma'ikal HaMemo, what are you going to say about him? If you just told me there's a drush of lachem l'alikvaya, how does he allow the baking of the Shtei HaLechem on Yomtiv? It's not lachem purposes. That the Gemara says, no, Sabla Kabishol. Shimon Gamliel holds like Abishol, which is quoted in Masechtas Be'an, the Chof and Beis, the Amal Lachem, that he makes the drasha of Lachem. What is included in Lachem for you that's allowed on Yom Tov? That's Lachem Eloi L'Nachem. The exclusionary criteria of Lachem for you means for you and not for non-Jews. However, it does not exclude Tzarchi Gevaya, that would still be included in Lachem for Jewish purposes, and therefore you would be able to make the Shtei HaLechem, even though it's L'Gevaya, that's included in Lachem. So now the Gemara reverses the questions. Up until now, Rabba's opinion was questioning Rav Chizda. Now it's Rav Chizda questioning Rabba. Sholach le Rav Chizda Rabba biyad Rav Acha bar Rav Huna. And that is, meaning when he sent it with him, he told him exactly how he wants to ask it in Rabba's own name, in Rav Chizda's own name. And he says, Mi aminin hoyel? He was asking on Rabba. He says, is it really true that you want to say this concept of hoyel? And that is, let's say one is allowed to go out and bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos, or from Yom Tov to the weekday, because since if guests would come, hypothetically, therefore, although I'm not doing it for that purpose, it's going to be permitted. But now we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Makos that says the following halacha. Yesh chayrish tel mechad. You could have somebody that's plowing one furrow, The chayavin alav mishum shmoin alav, and you could be violating in this one act on eight separate, totally different type of prohibitions, as the Mishnah explains. First of all, the person is plowing with an axe and a donkey together, which is the Isra of Lisachrish Shavachamar Yachtav. You can't plow together with an axe and a donkey. V'hemukdashim, and they're also sanctified. And there it is, on the shur, on the ox, you're going to be over on kachim mizbeach, which things that are fit to be brought on the mizbeach, because of a pasuk that says, le'savet be'b'char shrei recha, and as Rashi explains that all kachim are compared to b'char, that you're not allowed to go ahead and use it in working, and here you're plowing with it. Regarding the donkey, which is a different violation, as we're only using different violations, which has the sanctity of bedek habayis, because you can't bring a carbon of a donkey. It's just used for the monetary value by the Beis HaMikdash. That is violating when someone does intentionally a me'ila, which he misappropriates the objects of Hekdash, as the Gemara said in Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, that if someone does me'ila on purpose, he's over olav. And that's because we learn a chet from Truma, which says that one's not allowed to do. So we already have three separate lavin. Again, those two of the shur separately and the chamar, because those are two different isurim of misappropriating hektish, whether of mizbeach or of bedek habayis. And then we have the first one of shur v'chamar yachtav. And again, we're only saying separate lavin. So those are three. The klein bakerem. And then we have someone, when he's plowing, can be over on the prohibition of having different mixtures in the vineyard. And as we continue on Tamid Beis, which is that the person, when he's using the animals to plow, it's covering over the klaim that are there in the ground. And someone that covers over the klaim, which is part of the process of the planting, is over on the issa of klaim. B'shvius, and then there's the issa of it's being done on the Shemitah year, which is the pasuk of Sadchol Yisizri, you're not allowed to plow your field, you're not allowed to plant your fields on Shemitah. And Chayrish, plowing is a toilad, is a derivative, it's included in the category of Zareya of planting. For example, as we just said, if someone's plowing to cover the seeds, which is why he's also over beside Shemitah, he's also over on the Isra of Klaim when he's plowing, and it's being done b'yamtiv, it's on yamtiv. So therefore we have six already. Now as Rashi explains, the reason why we picked yamtiv, not Shabbos, is because Shabbos is a law, a negative prohibition. We're talking about how many malchus you can get that can also have a warning of a misa in Bezdin, to actually be killed by Bezdin, which something that you could have a misa in Bezdin, you don't get malchus on. So that's why you pick Yomtiv, which doesn't have the misa in Bezdin. And there's also Kohen v'Nazir. He's a Kohen and he's a Nazir. A Beisa Tumah, and this where he's plowing is in the Beis HaKavas in the cemetery. And therefore, he has two separate lavin from being a kohen and a nazir. He has the lav of a kohen, which says, lo nefesh li tamei, he's not allowed to be matam himself. And he has the lav of a nazir, which says, al nefesh meis lo yavai. So therefore, we have a total of eight lavin in this one act of plowing. Now, the question becomes, according to Rabbah, v'yamrin ha'yla, and if we do say ha'yla, like you want to say, so the question becomes, acharisha, for the plowing, for the isra of plowing on yamtiv, which is one of the lamates malachas, which is prohibited, lo l'chayiv, he should not be liable for, Hail against sins, mechazi l'chasas dam tzibur. This earth, this that you're plowing over, is fit to be used. If let's say you slaughter, if you animals or you're doing shechita on different birds, where you need it for kiseh hadam to go ahead and cover the blood with the earth, it's fit for that. I know I'm plowing all this earth and I don't need it, but hypothetically, if I were to shech to slaughter, I would need it, and therefore I should not be liable on that malchus because based on your principle of hail. So Amar Papa Bar Shmuel, it's a good question, but what we were talking about over there in that Mishnah was Bavon and Mikrozalis. We're talking about pointy rocks, which are not fit for using as keys. It has to be earth, which is granular, that you can go ahead and cover with, but here with pointy rocks, it's not fit, and that's why you're going to be over on this Isra of Chayish and Yomtiv, because there is no Hayil on such earth. But then the question becomes, but you can grind them down. Hypothetically, there's a way to do it to then be able to use it for kisa adam, to cover the blood. But then the response, what should be yamtiv? Are you allowed to grind on yamtiv? That's not permitted. So on that he retorts, that's not a good answer, because ruyas lekayishin kalachayad. You could grind it backhandedly. In other words, you could use a deviation, a shinui, and that will just be just a regular shvus isdrabon. And now since Minatari, that's permitted, so at least there's not going to be any more malchus. Again, that is difficult according to Rabbi. There says hayil. Problem is, you should be potter, you should be exempt on the charisha, because hayil, you can use it for using as kisei dam to cover the tzipa's blood. So the Gemara says bitzunma. We're talking about hard ground that's not fit for using as kisei dam. But then the Gemara asks, what do you mean? How can you say talking about tzunma? But then the question becomes, tzunma bar zriya, is hard ground fit for planting, that you're saying that you're going to be over on the plowing? It can't be. The case wouldn't fit for that in its own right. Another Gemara says, no, Tzun Min Melmalu, you're right, it's hard ground on the top, and that's why it's not fit for the mitzvah of Kisa Dam, but it's Va'afa Tichuach Melmata, it's very soft underneath, and that's why it is fit for planting where the seed's going to go down. But then the Gemara asks, V'tebik Le'mishom Afa Tichuach, then just based on the soft earth that's underneath, for that you should be over, that you should not be over, because Ha'il, you could use that soft earth from the bottom, which the plowing is getting to, as because you're saying that's what how you're having Zriya, for that you should be Pater, because you could use it V'Kisa Dam. So the Gemara says, "Elo amam amar avashi." We're talking about betina. We're talking about like a muddy, soft type, a moist type of muddy that's mixed. That's not fit for kisa hadam, and that's why, although it's going to be zriya, it's not. You can't use it for kisa hadam. That's why you're not exempt. But then the Gemara asked this again: "Betina bazriyahu, is this mud fit for using as for planting, and therefore why would you be chayiv on chayrish?" So then the Gemara concludes: "We're talking about bimisunta. We're talking about a very moist type of earth, which is fit for planting, but it doesn't become what's called offer. It doesn't become like dust. And that is, if you would grind it down, it would stick together and become this muddy consistency, again, which would not be fit for Kisa Adam. However, one could plant in it, and therefore that answers for Rabbah why you are Chayav Mecharish, because you would not be exempt based on the principle of Hayil, because there is no Hayil here. You can't use it for Kisa Adam. So Eser Abaya, the Abaya continues to ask on Rabbah. We learned Hamavashla Gid Hanasha. If someone cooks the Gid Hanasha, Gid Hanasha is a part of the animal near like the thigh area, which is usher for us to consume because that's the part of where the Malach was fighting with Yaakov and then it jumped. That's what Nasha means. It came out of it came displaced. So that part of the animal cannot be eaten. That's the Issa in the Torah. So if someone cooks that Gid Hanasha, Bechalov in milk, Beyamtav on Yamtav, Va'ichlan eats it, does all these steps, like a chamish, he's going to have five different penalties of lashes, as the Bryce explains. Like a mishum mevashal gid b'yamtiv, first of all, you're going to be over on the isra of cooking the gid on yamtiv, because since that's not a cooking that's fit to be eating, because you can't eat the gid hanasha anyway, and hence, it's a non-yamtiv purpose cooking, which is awesome in a Torah, to cook on yamtiv if it's not for echal nefesh. Second of all, like a mishum echal gid, then you're going to get a malchus for eating that gid. As we said, that's what you ate it too, and that's is in the Torah. V'loik mishum mevashal basa b'chav, you're also going to get malchus for cooking meat and milk. And that's even if it would be on the weekday. Now I'll cook this meat to get an usher with milk. Now, as Rashi explains, this manda amr obviously holds, which is a machloikis, regarding if the gidim, if sinews, give flavor, and if they're considered like meat, they obviously consider that it is like meat, and therefore it would be considered in the isser of cooking meat and milk. And v'loik mishum oichel basa b'chav, and hence you're also going to be chayv on malchus for consuming the meat and the milk. And finally, v'loik mishum havar. You're also going to get malchus for creating a fire for a non-yamtiv purpose. As Rashi explains, that havar, making a fire, is a distinct malacha than bishul, which is cooking. And hence, you're going to get one for the cooking and one for the making of the fire. Now the question becomes, according to Rabbah, v'yamrin ha'il. And if you say the principle of ha'il, avar lo l'chayiv, you should not be liable for making a fire on yamtiv. Ha'il l'chazi lo l'tzarch, it fit for all your yamtiv purposes. You might have to cook something. Of course you can go ahead and do havar. You can make the flame bigger on yamtiv because you might need it. So what's the problem that you're saying you're chayiv on it if you say ha'il? So amalei, so he responded, you're right. Apik havara, we should take out the word havara, that's not a correct girsa. V'ayil gid hanasha shel nevela. And put in that it was talking about another variable here, that the gid hanasha was from a nevela, from a dead animal. And therefore you get malchus for consuming it because of the isra, of the generic isra of consuming a nevela. So then the question becomes, but Vatan Reb Chiya had taught this brisa. He said, Loikin shtayim al-chilos. So you get two malchus from these five. Two are going to be for consumption, which is eating the gid and eating basa b'chalav. V'shalash al-bishule, and three for its cooking, which is for making the flame on yamtiv, for the cooking on yamtiv, and for cooking basa b'chalav, which would be even the problem during the weekday. V'yisa, and if it's like what you just said, that the fifth one's not havar, rather it's because for the consumption of nevela, shalash al-chilos mibayle. You should have said three for eating, not three for cooking and two for eating. So Ella, you're right. What you have to do is apik havara, take out havara again, but va'ayil atzei mukta. And instead put in its place that it was firewood that was mukta. Mukta is a concept that this was not set aside for yamtiv purposes. Rather, it was set aside, it was not meant to be used on yamtiv. And since this wood is mukta, that now you cannot say anymore the principle of hayil, because min ha'tayra it's forbidden to use fire that's mukta on yamtiv. And therefore, again, as we said before, that the principle of hayil would be only allowing something that would hypothetically be permitted, and here it's not permitted, and therefore, that's the fifth one. It was talking about firewood of mukta, and then when you made that fire with that wood, you were over on that issa, and that's where you get that fifth malchus. Then the Gemara asks, mukta deraisu? Are you telling me muktzah, which is a rabbinic injunction, is a biblical that you're getting a malchus on it? I'm like, and he says, yes. Muktzah happens to be, has a source in the Torah. That's stuff like it says a pasuk in Shemais. V'hayi b'yom ha-shishi, that it will be on the sixth day on Friday. V'chinu yaseh she'yaviyu, and they will prepare that which they will bring. Which means to say that they should prepare everything today on Friday that they're going to need, because you're not going to be able to do all the Shabbos preparations on Shabbos. And he should say that this is for today. In other words, to designate it, that it should not be muktzah, that the word muktzah means set aside, that's set aside for non-Shabbos purposes. You should say, no, it's going to be for today. As Rashi explains, that for the tircha, for the exertion of doing malachas on Shabbos itself, that you don't need, because it says already, it says shatayfo, eifo, versus shatavela, bashelo, etc. already regarding the actual malachas, that you should do that today on Friday, not for Shabbos. And however, here what we're saying is that since it's not prepared, and the Torah is calling it a hachana, preparation, obviously we're considering it a malacha. And therefore, v'asar asa mahacha, you want to know what the law is for muktzah? I'll bring you a pasuk in Shemais. Miloi sasaka malacha, you now do a malacha. This is considered, the Torah is calling it hachana, is considering it a real preparation. Therefore, we would consider it a malacha. And that's why that's the fifth one. Yes, muktzah is deraisa. But then Abaya asks, Amalei, but v'atu da, how can you say this? How can you say muktzah is deraisa? But v'atu dami, you yourself said, you said, "Ba'ayim minayim Rav Chizda," that I had asked, I had inquired from Rav Chizda. Ba'amirlo, and some say that he had said, "Ba'ayim minayim Rav Huna," I had asked Rav Huna, that "Hevi semafar," if someone brings a sheep from the pasture, and that's considered definitely in the category of muktzah because it hasn't come into the settlement where the people were for many days. It's been out and out. No one was thinking about it, of using it. That is one of the characteristics of muktzah, that it was inherently not being set for Shabbos and Yom Tov purposes. Rather, we didn't think about using it. But v'shachdu tamid b'yamtim, and then they want to slaughter that sheep as a carbon tamid, which is the oila of the tzibur that's brought every day. Mao, what is the halacha? Are you allowed to bring that as a carbon or not? Is it a problem of muktzah that's not going to allow you to bring it as a carbon or not? Va'at amritlan, you told us the amrat li Allah, that he answered me regarding this question, and he had called him a braisa, which was elucidating a pasuk in Yechezkel that was speaking about karbanas, that said, v'seh achas min hatzayin, that one of the sheep from the flock, min ha-masayin, from the 200, imashki Yisrael, from the feast, from the banquet of the Jewish people, and the braisa elucidated the pasuk as follows. Seh, sheep, was excluding v'lo ha-bachar, however, not the firstborn, and that is because the word sheep sounds like that it could, which the term sheep can be whether male or female, because those are all included in that term, whereas a firstborn is only by male, so therefore that's excluding a male. Achas, when it says one, v'loy ma'isa, that's excluding something that's coming from ma'isa, because ma'isa behema is not fit to be designated as use as another carbon. And the inference is, when it says achas, is that one, that it's the only one. Not this, which is a reference to ma'isa, that has to have 10 to be considered something, because only after the 9... then the 10th one becomes Meiser. Hence, it's not Achas, it's not on its own significance, only when there's 10. And therefore, it's excluding that. Veloi Meiser, and therefore that's excluding Meiser. Min Hatzayin, when the Pasuk says that from the flock, of the flock, which sounds like, but not the entire flock, again, that is a Miyat, that's excluding something. Veloi HaPalgis, and saying that you can't bring it from a Palgis, which a Palgis is not anymore a lamb, which is a Kevis, and it's not an isle yet, it's not a ram. And that's because for the entire first 12 months of its life, it's called a lamb. It's called a kevis. And in the 13th month, it's somewhere in between. It's called a palgis. It's neither here nor there. And that's because it only becomes an isle once it's in the second year after a month, as the Gemara explains in Masechtas Para in Parak Aleph. And therefore, this palgis that's somewhere in between, we're excluding that. That also cannot be brought. We continue on top of Memchesim and Aleph. Then when it says Min HaMasayim from the 200, as Rashi explains, obviously there's not talking about karbanis anymore. We're talking about one of the components that are being brought in Mizbeach, and specifically regarding the Nesachim, the libations that are brought in Mizbeach, and it's saying that the Nesachim that you bring should be from the 200, which that means Mimoisar Shtei Meis, from the leftover of the 200, Shenishtai Bebar, which was left over in the pit which had the wine, which teaches the following halacha mikan, La'arla Shebetele B'Mesayim. It's teaching that regarding the Issa, the prohibition of Arla, which is the produce of the first 3 years, that they become nullified in a measurement, in the ratio of 200 to 1. As Rashi explains, because if we weren't talking about that this pit of wine had Issa, had something prohibited, like Arla mixed into it, then why would I need 200? What does it mean? I could take anything from the pit of the wine to go ahead and pour it on the Mizbeach. Rather, it must be teaching this halacha that from the leftover 200, if there's 200, then that will be batel inside of it. But as Rashi explained truthfully in Sifri, there's a real source of Orla and Klai Kerem that the batel in 200 is learned. However, what the Gemara is saying over here is not necessarily, but it's saying that you also could rely on this min ha-masayim to teach this same halachic principle of that it's batel in 200. And mimashki Yisrael, and it has to be from the feast of the Jewish people. What does that teach when you come in to bring the karbanos? Min hamutul Yisrael has to be something that's permitted to the Jewish people from their feast, from their mashke. Mikan amru, and from here that lesson is that imavin nesachim and atalbin. I'll bring the nesachim from tevel, which is untithed produce, which they cannot consume. It's not mimashke Yisrael. It's not fit for them to consume. Therefore, you can't bring it as the karbanos. And again, these are all the things that we're saying, that if you want to bring the carbon tum and you want to bring the nesachim, it has to be from these items, but all these things are excluded. You can't bring from mice, you can't bring from something that's from tevel. So then the continues and says, yochel lo yavi min hamuktzeh. So then you would think, based on what we just told you, it has to be mashke Yisrael, from something that's fit for the Jewish people, that you can't bring from something that's set aside, that's muktzeh, because that's also not permitted for Yisrael to use on Shabbos or Yom Tov. But then you'll say no. Because ma tevel miyuchid, what we find by tevel when it's untithed, which is it's unique in the sense that she'isr gufa garmloi, that it's intrinsic, the isr, that it itself is prohibited because it wasn't taken off the maestros and trumas from it. Of course, she'isr gufa garmloi, that would also say that anything that intrinsically is prohibited, that would not be able to be brought on the mizbeach for the Jewish people. That excludes isr muktzah, where it's not an intrinsic isr. It's something else. Shabbos, the time, these external factors that are causing this to be prohibited, but intrinsically there's nothing wrong with this item, and therefore it could be brought on the mizbeach. Now the question becomes, V'i amrit isr muktzah deraisa. You, Rabbi, wanted to say that the isr muktzah is a deraisa. And that's why we're talking about atzei muktzah, and that's the fifth one that you're going to get malchus on. If that's biblical, Mali Yisr Gufa, then what does it make a difference if it's intrinsic? Mali Yisr Davacha, whether if it's something else, let's say Shabbos causing it. If it's Yisr Daraisa, why could I, and therefore it has this worth of an Yisr, why would I be able to be bringing it? It's not Mimashki Yisrael, it's not fit for the Jewish people. Who cares why or how, externally, internally, it still wouldn't be fit. The another question on Rabbah is how can you say that you get Malkus on Atzei Muktzah? Ha'atu da'amrit, you yourself said in Elihin Aloykin the Makas Tav Chav Alva Mabez that Chilik Malachas L'Shabbos, that regarding the Halachas of Shabbos, we separate, that we tease out many Malachas for the same Isser of Lamates Malachas. That if, let's say, someone does two different Malachas in one lapse of awareness, or one Malacha in two different lapses of awarenesses, then he's liable for two different Malachas, two different Isserim. However, ve'in chilik malachas li'yam tov, you said that we don't say that on Yom Tov. And that is, if someone does two malachas intentionally on Yom Tov, he's not going to get two different malachas. And therefore, here we're talking about Yom Tov, and yet on Yom Tov, based on your opinion, where you're going to be giving the person two malachas. One for, as you said, the muktzah of the wood, and one for cooking the gid on Yom Tov. But how can you do that? You said on Yom Tov, if you're doing malachas, you only get one. You don't give for all the different malachas separate malachas. Yet you're saying it's atzei muktzah, and you're giving two. So therefore he concedes. Ella, rather, what you have to say is, again, apik havara, you take out havara from being the fifth one, because that doesn't work according to Rabbah, because based on this principle of hoyel, one should not be chayv. V'ayel atzei asherah, and put in instead the wood of an asherah tree, which is a tree that was served as avodah zarah. V'azhar, and that warning is regarding getting malchus, and it is mihach from pasuk in Devarim, of lo yidbak biyadcha me'umah me'achem, that nothing should be held on to you from your hands, from this thing that is aser, which is a reference to atzei asherah. But then amalei rabacha b'rei derav lo abaya. But if that's the case, if that's the lav, but v'nilki nami mishum. But then if it was atzei asherah, you should have not five but rather six malchus because of a pasuk of leisavi tayev el beisecha, that you shouldn't bring an abominable thing in your house, and that's also forbidden because of atzei asherah. So it should be six, not five. Ella rather apik havara. You have to take an havara va'ayil atzei hekdesh. And instead insert using the wood from Hekdesh. And that warning is Mahachav and Pasuk in Devarim that says, Vashireyim Tisher from Be'esh, that their wood from their trees, they have to be burnt in fire. However, the Pasuk there says over there in context, but Loisasin Kein L'Shem L'Keichem. You should not do that to Hashem your God. What does that mean? I mean the wood of Hashem, so to speak, that of Hekdesh, that you should not burn. That is forbidden to burn, to the contrary. And therefore, that is learned to be a lav, whereas although you should do it by Atzei Asherah, don't do it to Hashem. And therefore, that is the fifth lav, again, that of Atzei Hekdesh. And again, that's why that answers for Rabbah, the question that was asked him regarding Havar. You're right, it's not Havar. You have to say it's Atzei Hekdesh, and there is no principle of Hoyle.